Last time on Wanderlust. Juliet and Estelle wake up in her apartment, having been given that note to meet with the Wild Watchers.
Did I get a note like they did? Or?
Oh, no, you didn't. No, huh?
Fred! Get up!
I'm coming.
Well, you're coming with us anyway. We're gonna go meet the Wild Watchers.
So it looks very archaic, this odd old building that you walk up to. When you get to the door, you can see that it is chained and locked shut.
I mean, this happens all the time in the books I read. Secret societies, that kind of thing. I think that it's just a front that they're weird, because no one will look into them if you think they're weird.
It is too early for me to be having that as a consideration.
And then she goes up to the door and goes, obviously you have to do the secret knock, and she does like a really complicated series of knocks on the door.
Autumn's just like jabbing, like elbowing Estelle.
The Wild Watchers have been in Smoky Banks for who knows how long, at least quite a while. Generally, what we are people who have taken the time to pay attention to the fact that Smoky Banks is measurably weird. But since I have been keeping track, not only have I discovered that Smoky Banks sees an unbelievably high number of reported odd sightings, we also have, of any eco-worm, the highest number of missing persons, property damage, and, frankly, deaths of any eco-worm that go totally unsolved. See, half of them reports that Sheriff Mitchell over there says is nothing is something, as I've seen him.
What's the point of bringing us here? Is this just to tell us off and say, hey, don't do that again?
We have an opening.
As his replacement, I accept.
I do too.
Let's call it a temporary understanding. Seek to, as much as possible, keep the wilds in the wild.
Estelle slaps him.
Maybe I should have saved the boxing gloves for you.
Why did you let Matthew join your little team?
Okay.
Did you, like, put him through any training?
Absolutely not, and I have to say...
And you just let him go into a building?
Are you gonna do a training regiment for going out into the wilds here, now that you know that there are literally monsters?
What do you think I was doing when I was in the symbiotes? That's part of the reason I want to be going out there. I want to know when those blight hounds are getting too close, and we need to do something about it.
You know how you're like, I'm happy he was helpful, but I wish he wasn't doing that? It's kind of how I feel about you running off into the wilds to save kids. Like, I'm glad you're helpful, and you really are, but I really wish you also weren't doing that. All of you walk back towards the gardens, and it feels odd almost to have I guess we have to do a shift, but you do. Tending to the gardens in this case is very odd. Much of the damage at this point that's like immediate has been taken care of. And now a lot of the work is kind of just taking care of trying to make sure that your garden is square. So, you know, there was like pretty extensive damage to plants and like things that need to be replanted, all that stuff. It's sort of similar to what you guys were dealing with yesterday when you were going and trying to help with the repairs. That's kind of en masse now being done in the gardens. You can kind of see far off like Old Town, the part of the city that was, you know, like converted. There is just like large amounts of damage and like stuff is broken down. And you can kind of hear the chattering in the garden is largely about people who are like trying to figure out where to live. Yeah, similarly to what Estelle and Juliet did. You hear a lot of people being like, hey, you know, can I stay with you for a bit? Yeah, whatever. And then also there's just generally people kind of like gossiping about like, well, are they gonna rebuild the eco stays, or are they going to just like abandon those, start recycling them, and build, like, the new lofts, you know? And, like, because there's definitely, like, builder guild people that are, like, talking about, like, oh, you know, if we do decide to go with new structure, yada, 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 there's all these ideas. So this is kind of like the rumblings that you guys are hearing as you're working. I will say, the way I envision this next little bit here, it's kind of like a social scene, right? You're getting the feel of the town. Is there any chatting with randos that you guys want to do?
I don't think so. Like, the people I want to chat with, you know, I want to chat, you know, like, it's not okay. Just like...
And that's fine.
You know, like, we've talked about, like, what I want to do, so...
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, cool. So you guys do your shift. It's still feels like a little bit uncomfortable being in town. Like, there is still debris on the ground. You can tell, like, you can see trees blown over, all that kind of stuff. Juliet, you finish your work, and you kind of, like, remember that comment from the Wild Watchers, like, don't bring anything back with you. And you can kind of, like, feel all the things that you brought back with you sort of, like, burning a hole in your pocket as you make your way over to the college to find Doc Marlin. So you walk in and you can kind of like find his office again. Like I said, there's definitely parts of the college that are like big greenhouses and there to research other plants that might eventually become part of the real gardens. But then there's also like a section that is tons of little offices. You go into Doc Marlin's, like I said before, it's not a huge office, and it is just jam-packed with like things in jars that he is always identifying and playing with. And he looks up and sees you and smiles and goes, oh, I was hoping you might stop by. And he kind of like claps his hands and rubs them together. Please tell me that you brought back something interesting for me.
Well, yes, I have several somethings, actually. And she pulls out the river mushrooms that they found, the unnatural squirrel bones that they discovered. And then also, she's going to pull out the fibers from the giant seed that was at Fred's and just kind of see what he says about all of them.
Oh, okay, cool. Is that the total number of things that you brought to... Is that the total number of things that you brought back from the wild?
Yes, I used to have the mystery metal, but I think I gave it all to Fred.
Oh, yeah, you did. That's fine. That's going to be handled separate. So you, like, set down these, like, three sample containers that you have, and he looks at them and goes, oh, three new things. I must say I am excited for all of these. Now, it might seem a little passe or, I don't know, grotesque, but this is a business transaction after all, and you have done great work. And he, like, reaches into his desk and pulls out kind of like this big bag and opens it up and drops three coins in front of you. These are, like, the credits for the eco herb.
Mm-hmm.
They are, like, stamped pieces of metal that are not like any kind of precious or specific metal, and you can almost tell by looking at them that they are not all that uniform, but the stamp is. And he drops these three stamped credits in front of you and just goes, now, I would love to talk to you about what all of these are. So, weird little mushroom? Do you know anything about it?
She describes like where they found it near the river. This one, I don't think had any weird properties. If I remember correctly.
It could become poison, and
that wasn't the one that like gave off the spores though, right?
No, it's if it gets old enough it became poisonous. That was
okay.
It.
Oh, okay.
What was the other thing that you gave him?
Jacked up squirrel bones.
Oh, he starts like looking at them and goes, looks like this is off a small rodent. Okay, interesting.
It's a squirrel, actually. But just noticing the markings here, where the ligaments would connect, it seems like it has all the makeup of a small rodent, but seems a lot more muscular, perhaps. It was supporting a lot larger of a muscular system than one might expect from a squirrel.
He smiles and sets that to the side and then looks at the seed and goes, oh, you got this from here, huh?
I was wondering if you notice. It's seems to have kind of taken over a friend's shop.
Oh, no. Is he alive still?
Yes. Is it dangerous?
Well, some of them were. I got some weird things I went and looked at. Fortunately, people... Well, I guess a bug didn't call me. A person did, so there were a few of these odd beetles that seemed to be building little homes in people's shops and around town. They seemed to be like the size of a big dog and were not nice, apparently. But I got to examine them. They were fascinating.
Does Fred need to stop by and be examined from being in close proximity with them?
I am not a medical doctor. I have no idea.
Oh, you just implied that they might be a bit dangerous.
Oh, they attacked people.
Oh, didn't we clean this out?
Huh?
We cleaned out his shop.
Yes. Well, yeah, you started to, yeah.
Okay.
What he's saying is that he saw other shops where big bugs had put seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And that people got attacked by those big bugs.
Oh, okay, like the big bug that Fred found in his house. Yeah. Oh, okay.
That wasn't the only one. He also found, like, large beetles, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
I found some of these seeds as well. Very weird. I don't believe this is a plant I've ever seen before.
Okay, it's not native to the area then.
Oh, well. Juliet, do you know about how many new species are discovered by all of the eco-herbs put together a year?
I thought about maybe 25?
Yeah, that's about right, yeah. Like, you know, 25 new species a year. It's not that weird. We discover new things. I have found, so far, this year, 30 new species.
What?
Yeah, it's really good being here.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't be that surprised given what I saw in the last week, but I suppose part of why I came out here is it seemed
like... 100% of why I'm here. You know, I'm not that good at my job, and I don't mean that in a self-deprecating way. I'm pretty smart, but I'm not unusually smart. I just happen to live in Smoky Banks, and the number of things I have gotten to be credited with discovering is, frankly, astronomical.
I see. Doctor, have you noticed maybe a pattern, perhaps, of bringing physical objects back to the town from the wilds and bad things happening?
Oh, so they talk to you. I should have seen that coming. They talk to you.
Yes.
The sheriff, the lighthouse guy, and that, the old lady who, I don't remember her name, but she...
Honey?
Keeps inviting herself to dinner.
Yeah, that sounds right, yeah.
So, they're nuts, which I know, he like looks around his office and goes, pot calling a kettle black seems like the correct thing to say there. I get that maybe I'm also a little out there, but no, they've asked me for advice before, and they're making all kind of unfounded conclusions. Here's the thing. If there is something unusual out in the wilds, us ignoring it is not going to make it magically go away. You know what I mean?
I do. I feel like we should be documenting maybe the transfer of goods. And we don't know what's going on, and the antidote to ignorance is investigation.
Exactly. And look, Juliet, I know sometimes people think of ambition as a negative. And, maybe they're right, but you're young. You have your whole career ahead of you.
That's very kind of you to say,
but... Here's my point. You can have a very, very good career and a lot of recognition for a lot of interesting discoveries if you don't really do what the Wild Watchers do and try to hide from the wilds and watch them from a distance. You get your hands dirty with those, oh, you are going to discover so many things. And eventually, I'm not going to want to claim credit for all of them. And then you can.
Are you offering me a permanent job here?
I'm not going to get rid of you if you're useful. And he, like, gestures at the table and goes, pretty useful so far, and you didn't die. So that's good.
I agree on that front. She pulls out her notebook and she's got some sketches of other things that she didn't sample. So she's got, like, pages on the Blighthounds. She's got information on the metal and the weird forge that they found. She's got notes on the poisonous flora that made us see things and get kind of turned around.
Yeah, he looks at that notebook and goes, can I have those?
I'd prefer that you make carbon copies, but sure.
Absolutely. And he just, like, drops another coin on the table and goes, I definitely want you to stick around and keep not dying. But here's the deal. I don't know what, I guess next assignment, right? Something crazy happened to town a couple days ago. You've noticed.
Right.
And we got these weird bugs that don't exist until now. That's exciting for me. So here's what I want you to do. Go find out what all that is. Bring me back more samples. We're both going to be famous. I gotta tell you, as a professor, not frequent that you get to be famous. So far, we're gonna be famous.
That seems like a good spot to end.
He went from, like, being, like, kooky old professor to, like, I'm terrified that he's the final villain really quick.
He is, yeah, I mean, he is not meant to be necessarily altogether warm and cozy. He benefits greatly from this and doesn't care. Like, he doesn't particularly like people, but he does like recognition, and he does like discovering stuff. So he's just like, yeah, we're going for it.
No, that wasn't the part that made me uncomfortable. The part that made me uncomfortable when he's like, I won't get rid of you if you're useful. I'm like, and if she's not, are you just gonna kill her?
No, it just wouldn't continue offering her, you know, wouldn't be able to keep working there, maybe.
I know, but it's just the way he phrased it. It's just like, you know, a mafia dom just being like, you need to be useful to me.
Gonna make you an offer you can't refuse.
If you stop being useful to me, we may no longer see eye to eye and see each other. And by that I mean you will be at the bottom of the ocean.
You're gonna sleep with so many fishes.
Estelle, you finish up your time in the wilds, and you're kind of like
eating. You mean
eating
the gardens?
Yes, that's what I meant. Sorry. Estelle, you finish up your time in the gardens. You're finishing up. You're looking for a meal. It's about lunchtime. And you look over and you see Fred sitting at one of, like, the garden common tables of people eating. He's sort of like sitting by himself, and you can kind of see Honey about to, like, swoop in.
Yeah, Estelle's gonna take whatever tray thing of food she has and just slide in right in front of Fred. Hey, how's your day been going?
Oh, it's not too bad. Spent some time in the gardens, which it's a bit weird coming back and having to do that after being out in the wilds for so long. But I guess every little bit helps, right?
Yeah, well, especially getting it all back up so that, you know, the whole eco-web still has food.
So have you been by your clinic yet? Is it intact, or is it kind of messed up like my shop was?
No, the building actually seems fine, which is shocking for Old Town. But I know I'm still gonna have to do a lot of work on it. I still have a lot of equipment that came in on the boat that needs to be installed and all that. Oh, I did have an idea. You had mentioned potentially making some stuff once your shop's back up.
Oh yeah, you had an idea of something I could make for you?
Yeah, well, so I don't know if this is possible, but you know that, and I also don't want to take all of this, but you know the metal you found? I was wondering if maybe there was a way to make that into, like, a flashlight? Because I don't have one. It's been a long time. Other than emergency stuff that came with the eco stay, which I guess I don't have it anymore anyway. But, yeah, that was something that I was thinking might be worth it.
Certainly seems possible. That metal did glow for quite a while when I heated it up. I mean, I haven't worked with it much yet to know how well I can shape it, but I could probably make something out of that metal that you could have multiple uses. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't think you'd want a sword, but maybe a sword that then you could like put a lighter on and it would glow, and it's basically a flashlight, right?
I'm not really like a sword type of person, but the only thing I can really think of like metal wise that I would at least want out there to start with is some kind of light, because I don't have it, and it feels like that's something that we all should have at some point.
I'm sure I can come up with something once I figure out how this metal works.
Oh yeah, and obviously, like, it's not an end-all be-all necessarily. I'll be able to, worst comes to worst, I might be able to find something else, but, okay, look, I don't want to be rude here, but can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead, I guess.
Is there a reason you went out into the wild with us to start? Like, look, okay, I'm sorry. There's the three of us that I feel like have been pretty clear about why we went out there. And I just want to make sure I understand that you're not going out there with us to be creepy. I know this sounds so mean, and I'm really sorry. I feel like I gotta ask.
I'm trying to think of my response. Give me a second. The funny thing is, Mandy messaged me this forever ago. I think I know what my response is. I just figure out how I want to say it.
I understand that is the pain of my existence as a GM. Every time you guys ask a good question, and I'm like,
well, I don't have an excuse though, because Mandy sent me this in a DM forever ago, so I knew this was coming.
No, everything is all live. We never plan anything out ever.
No metagaming.
Not even the DM. He just makes it up all on the spot.
The only thing I made up entirely on the spot was the entirety of the Avis arc of
No, also the best NPC was made up more or less on the spot.
You guys invented him. I didn't invent him. You guys birthed him.
I mean, you made him and then you had to give him a personality because they're like, can we convert him? And you're like, fine.
I guess.
So I think I got kind of four answers for you.
All right.
It's kind of a little part to each of these, right? So, well, one was definitely to track down the kids, because when we found out that there's kids missing, that, yeah, I would hate to be stuck out somewhere unknown and not, like, be all by myself. So, yeah, I definitely wanted to help find the kids.
Okay.
But also, as part curiosity, I kind of want to know what's out there, and never really spent much time in the wilds before, and seemed like a interesting challenge. Another part was find interesting metals and materials to make stuff out of, which, mission accomplished, right?
Right.
And the third one, or the fourth one, that you're not entirely wrong. When I first saw you guys out at the ruins, I saw damsel in distress that might need saving. Turns out, didn't need saving. None of you need saving. But then we got along so well, I just kind of kept going with you.
Yeah, and like, don't get me wrong. This is not me being like, we don't want you in the group. Like, no, that is not what I'm saying at all. I really appreciate everything that you went through with us out there. Thank you for answering that and not being weird about it, because I was already being weird about it, but I just felt like I had to, lay my cards on the table and make sure we were all on the same page.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from, because older guy in a group of ladies, like, yeah, it looks a bit strange. I understand that, but I promise you, nothing. I see you guys all as friends. Like, I'm not playing anything there.
Cool. Well, that honestly, I was already enjoying your company. That makes it even better.
Plus, I think if Honey over there had her way, I think I might already be spoken for. But we'll see what happens there.
Good luck. We keep having our meal and talking.
All right. So I know I talked briefly about going like, hey, I'm going to kind of chain together scenes in an order that I see. So, aside from scenes that we have discussed, is there anything that any of you are itching to do today in town?
Nope.
Okay, cool. So, all of you spend, you know, well, actually, you know what? I'm kind of curious. Like, I kind of know what... And this is unplanned. I'm just curious now. What would Autumn do with her downtime?
Currently, she's trying to, like, figure out how to make one of those hoverboards, but also without asking Cal.
No, I kind of like that idea that, like, well, and that's sort of, like, an interesting thing there that, like, I think Autumn is maybe, like, a little bit on the outside here, because this is sort of, like, an odd time. Like, you came to town without a lot of a plan, right? Like, this was sort of like a spur of the moment thing. And so, like, you might not necessarily, like, have a really solid career path for town. Like, what you were before was, like, a volunteer firefighter, right?
Yeah. Which she's been doing for the past 2 days? Day and a half?
Right. Yeah. It's like, and that might almost be like, you know, you get back to town and things are trashed and you're like, yes! You know what I mean? But then it's like, well, there's not a need for me to climb a tower right now. So it's just kind of like, well, I guess I'll kind of go try to see these hoverboards, and you're like watching people, but still just kind of on the outside. So you like spend the rest of your day, yeah, kind of a little bit alone, which maybe feels odd and like out of step for how much you were just kind of like go, 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 disaster, disaster, disaster. And then you're back in town and it's sort of quiet and slow again, and you can almost feel yourself having that, like, itch, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think she's a very extroverted person, so her, like, having a lot of alone time is very weird for her. You know, like, she's used to being in groups.
Yeah. So, when you, so your day kind of winds down, it gets to be evening, it gets to be night, you know, the moon start coming out in the sky, and you do something that you haven't, done since you have come to... what's it called? Since you've come to Smoky Banks, you seek out a, church service for the lunar goddess that you, exerb, Exula. So, I will say, this is gonna be a little bit of me making some stuff up, and if you hate it, feel free to chime in and make corrections here. We're kind of inventing a religion as we go a little bit. I have some ideas.
Cool.
So, typically, when people do, like, observe religion in this world, it is frequently at night because the largest religion is a lunar one, right? So it's all based on the moons. Those all have different characteristics. So people typically worship at night, right? Sometimes for people, that's a very solitary thing. So for some people, it just means taking a walk at night and thinking. For other people, it is a maybe a small group of just like getting together and talking about things or whatever, studying together, but it's typically done at night. So walking out at night in any eco-urb is kind of seen as like going to church. This is sort of the equivalent of seeing people out in their Sunday best. Finding any service for Exula is always very easy. As a group of people, they are not the loudest in a raucous way, but the loudest in like a uniform way. Like, if you want to find a service for Exula, just follow the sound of, like, rhythmic dancing and chanting, and you're going to find all the worshippers of Exula. So as you walk out, this sort of feels so familiar to you to find a community that you can immediately find the step for. And you walk out and see people sort of milling about, and as I imagine a service for Exula, and this is taking a little bit of what you said, my own idea, you see people out, like I said, sort of chanting, like there's like a call and response from like a leader of the group. And then there are like very much like organized people that are all like doing a call and response, but also going through like sort of like dance steps almost. People always do this barefoot. And my idea here is that when people do this dance, they are intentional about like leaving out piles of like chalk on the ground. And as you go through the dance step, the idea is that it's always painting a picture on like, it's like doing like chalk art on the ground.
That's cool.
So when the service is finished, it's made some kind of picture, which is typically like mountains or like a crown, because those are the things that Ixula is the goddess of. So going to the service is meant to kind of be like almost a, like, what's it called when you do like a thing that you repeat to yourself?
A mantra? A
mantra.
Like mantras. It's like repeating mantras to like song and dance. You're kind of supposed to get lost in this very samey step thing. So Autumn getting to go and do that would definitely have that feeling of like finding a pace that you're used to, finding a group that you're used to, and immediately being able to slot in. How would you imagine Autumn being after this, like after that regimented part of it is over?
I think it's, she's like of two minds. Like on the one hand, it's really refreshing and relaxing in the way that like doing something that is intimately familiar for you is. Like, I see it not dissimilar from how martial artists talk about doing, like, katas, which are, like, sequenced moves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it's just like, well, like, they're like, yeah, when you hit a level of proficiency, they're like, no, this is, like, how I relax. Like, I just, like, can, like, completely leave myself kind of thing. And I think she's, like, partially, like, relieved. It's something familiar and not different. Even if she was craving to have like a change of pace, it's weird to like have everything be different for her.
Yeah.
So it's nice in that way. But with the stilling of her mind, she like has to think about all like the like terrible things she's seen recently, like the town getting destroyed and like finding like actively dismembered bodies, you know, or not actively, you know, like just bodies completely dismembered, and like having to deal with that because she's like had a quiet moment where it's like, oh, like, I completely, like, just, like, meditated, and it's like, well, these horrifying things, like, came back to her.
So, when the, like, regimented part of this ends, you know, people might gather for a meal, and I'll say, you kind of have that, again, that brief sense of feeling like an outsider, right? You're seeing people that have all clearly, so while you were doing this, like, regimented thing, it was like, you felt like part of the group. You slipped in right away because you've done this thing a million, million, million times. Like, doing the chants of the mountain where you paint this mountain with your feet and go through these things. It's like, I've done this a million times. I can immediately fill in there. So you have that moment again of starting to feel like a little bit detached. And then the woman that was leading the service just walks up to you and goes, oh, hi there. My name's Betsy. It's nice to meet you. I don't recognize you, but I'm so happy to have you here.
Oh, hi, I'm Autumn. I'm new in town. I've been in and out, and like this is the first chance I've got to like come to a service, you know, like putting like getting things in order. You know how it is. Like,
we've had a little bit of a ruckus recently. I do get that. But what, were you not here during the storm?
Yeah, I wasn't. I was out trying to find the kids that went missing.
You were the ones that wandered out into the forest?
Yeah, that was me and my friends. Like, we did that to, like, go save the kids.
So let me get this straight. You get to town, and you're new to town, and then the first thing you do is you wander off into the woods to find kids.
Yep, that is exactly what I did.
Well, you know, that's a pretty... big introduction to the town. That's a lot, I gotta say. I don't think that I would have wanted to wander off as soon as you wouldn't have even had time to get settled.
Yeah, like, when you put it that way, like, I'm realizing that I might not have as much of a support network here as I'm used to.
Well, now, I don't think you should say... I know it's hard coming into a group for the first time, all right? But you seem to know what you're doing with the steps and the chanting. You didn't miss a beat. Seem like you've done this forever. Think you'll fit in fine here. And, you know, if you need a support network, obviously, I'm here. That's the whole point.
I guess it is. It's nice to be here, Betsy.
I am just so glad that you are. Now, she, like, looks at you and goes, being a leader of a group of people that worship Ixula comes with responsibilities. And she, like, hits you on the knee, like, genially, you know? So what's going on? And she, like, edges forward.
Well, a lot. But I think what's hard right now is I thought I knew what I was gonna see in the wilds, but it was a lot more destructive than I thought it was. I read a lot of stuff, like I read a lot of books, and some of these books like have like fictional narratives about the wilds, and obviously they're not all going to be like 100% accurate, but like nothing really terrible happens in them, where like we were out there and we saw some things where like some other people had been out there and they were like they were killed by like the wilds, and that just like, I don't know, it's just like hard to like reconcile things. And I don't know if I have a point to this. It's just I saw death and that bothers me.
I think that might be a pretty natural reason to seek out any kind of questions. You know, we all at some point come face to face with the notion of what's the point if it doesn't matter? You know, that's an immediate and pressing question, I think, especially when you see any kind of danger or, you know, death. And I do think sometimes, and now look, I gotta tell you what, I do love a novel, all right? I am a reader for pleasure, and I gotta say, this town has great stage productions if you want to see something read aloud. But I do think at times, what those stories tend to do is give you a sense of catharsis. They give a definitive reason, you know, like if there is sacrifice, there's a point to it. If there is hardship, it is rewarded, right? And those stories feel good because it kind of closes that loop, you know? But sometimes life is much more messy than that. And I think that there's always a bit of a struggle coming face to face with that the first time, really seeing it right in your, you know, when it's in your face, you can't look away from it. And it's not that death is ever pleasant, but frequently it's sort of sanctioned, planned for it almost, organized. We have a ritual, we have a plan for it. But then at other times it just happens when we don't expect it, and that's harder.
Yeah, it's just stories make it seem like it's all always fun and bad thing, you know, as you said, like bad things happen for like a reason. And I think maybe this is the first time I've thought like maybe they don't. Like I come from like an upbringing where like I didn't have really hardship. I mean, like I was from one of the Simbi herbs, and things are a lot easier there even than here. Like the community here is great, and like nothing's like everything is like not hard. I don't mean it to say like that, but like the Simbi herbs are like very different. Like if something goes wrong in one of them, like we can't like a water pump fails. There's four or five other towns around, so it's just like coming out here. We're like if a pump breaks, we have to fix it now. You know, it's just different. You know, like so it's weird just seeing how things are like bad things can happen. You know, like I don't know. I've just never had to think about it, and I guess it's making it hard for me.
Do you want to know why it is that I chose Ixula as like the goddess, the moon that I'm most fascinated by?
Yes.
So there's an easy answer, right? The queen of all the other moons, the creator of everything, and the builder of mountains. Now that's great, and it's something that I love about the notion, but there's more to it than that. There's a reason why we have someone who leads the service, why that service then is very regimented, why we take piles of chalk and make something beautiful out of them. See, I think Ixula was someone that saw chaos, that saw the world as a mess, and made meaning out of it, and did that by creating something. She created all of this, all the other moons, the whole pantheon. She took an empty sky and filled it. She took flat earth and made it into mountains. Now, that does create structure. It creates hierarchy. It creates society. And that's what I think brings purpose. sometimes when you look at something, it's going to seem like there is no reason. But we bring the reason to it. And that's sometimes kind of hard. Maybe you see something horrible, but that has to serve a purpose for you. And that's not to say that, you know, every time a tragedy happens, that we can think of it as a utility or that it should be sought out. But I do think that life happens to us, and then we have to build that into a mountain ourselves. That's the point of doing this whole thing. We take all of this and build it into a mountain. We try to model that. So we take our religion and we build it into a mountain. So, yes, someone's leading it, someone's at the peak, and that makes me responsible for trying to guide other people to build their personal mountains. And that sometimes means taking hardship and building it into something.
Yeah, thanks, Betsy. I think that helps. Like, I think I'll need to think a little bit more on it, because, like, it was rough, but I like that a lot. And then she, like, hugs her.
she hugs you back and then goes, well, anyways, now, the next step of this, you gotta get fed. So come on over here, meet everybody. You'll find some people here who I'm sure you like, you know. And she, like, brings you over, and there's just, like, piles of, like, comfort food out. It's all very, like...
Gotta have that hot dish.
Yes, yeah. It's, like, everything is, like, a noodly casserole with ranch on the side. And you definitely, like, as you're looking around, you just see, like, Cal, like, just waving emphatically at you. So yeah, you spend the rest of your kind of like, you know, your evening in camaraderie with this group of people and, you know, go to bed. You wake up the next morning, you like hear your alarm going off and you like get up like, great, time for your morning exercise. And you're like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to grab Juliet.
Yeah. So it's ridiculously early still. It's, I guess, like it depends on when does the sun rise in this world?
I guess it doesn't change with the time of year, right? Because we said there isn't seasons, or those seasons are not time-based. Let's 6:30.
Okay.
6:30 is always sunrise.
So I think, like, Autumn gets up, like, at, like, 5, you know, like, ready to work out. And then she's like, oh, wait, I didn't tell Juliet, like, that we're going to work out, like, when we're starting. So she's like, I'll wait for a reasonable hour. And she knocks on Juliet's door at 5:30. Juliet!
Coming. She's dressed, but very sleepy.
Is Estelle still there, by the way?
I'm going to say yes, but she is not getting up.
Yeah, I would say yes, but she is still curling up with Guffy.
Right. No, that's fine. Estelle, I don't think she wants to join.
I think she's fine.
So... are you ready? I feel like I should have checked in with the time. Like, again, I'm realizing this later. I was just at church really late last night, so...
That's fine. I was prepared.
You always are. So...
yeah, usually.
Do you think just, like, going for a run would be a good start for you? I think that'd be a good place to start.
How far is the run?
Like... you know what? We'll do interval stuff. You look like you haven't done a lot of long-distance running.
You'd be right about that.
Oh, it's not a problem. No, like, everyone starts somewhere. Like, there was a time when I hadn't done a lot of long-distance running. Like I didn't get athletic overnight.
Right.
I keep looking to my right to, like, talk to Caitlin. No, so, like, you shouldn't feel bad about, like, not being as good shape as I am in. Like, I worked really hard to get into shape, like, to be strong and do stuff, and maybe go out into the wilds one day.
You're right. Let's just get to it.
Do you want to describe town as we run through it at 5:30 in the morning?
Sure. So, as you run through the kind of, like, it's a little chilly, it's a little breezy, it's definitely very damp. Like, I think to all of you, this would be weird to feel like you're constantly drinking the water as you run. I think particularly to start running, this is sort of a sucky way to do it as you realize how much of the air you're breathing is not air and you're both cold and overheating. as you're like panting through this workout. You know, if you jog down to the beach, it's immediately like soft and squishy, which is hard.
I think Autumn is doing a pretty decent job of like watching what Juliet's doing and like toning it really far back. Like it's harder than what she's used to, but like the air and stuff, but she's also like, she's not putting in 100%. Like, she's not trying to kill Juliet. Like, hey, this is what I do. I run 10 miles in the morning. It's like, oh, look, we're going to run for 30 seconds and then we stop for 30 seconds and then we run for 30 seconds and then we, you know, like, so during one of these breaks, she's like, so like, I don't know, like, what brings you out here? Like, you seem like you really want to go into the wilds and it doesn't, you're very prepared for everything, and it seems weird that you'd want to go to a place where everything is unpredictable. And I'm not saying that I don't like
you. You'd be right there. It's just she like looks upward. It's a stupid reason.
I read novels about going into the wilds, and that's why I went into the wilds, so I don't think I can really judge.
I guess. It's because of my partner, Beau. Well, I guess ex-partner. We're not together anymore, but it's because of him, which is idiotic, to say the least.
Did he do... Why? I'm confused. Like, if you're not together, how is he making you do anything?
He's not. We were together for over a decade. And he's completely different from me. He's laid back. He's go with the flow. He's relaxed, you know, opposite of me, right? And he's fun. Everyone loves him.
I don't know. You seem pretty go with the flow, Juliet. She winks at you.
and I loved him too. He was the surprise you in the garden and kiss you sort of person, and he didn't care what people thought and didn't plan further ahead than one day. And that was fine for a while. And we had our own hobbies, our own affinities for things, and I made space for him, and he didn't I didn't join him on all of the go with the flow things he did, but I thought this was just how you grow. It's part of being in a relationship with somebody. And so then when he told me he was leaving and joining the Ringus, I was in shock. He said he didn't think I could hack it where he was going. Me, who's always thrown herself into everything, and I couldn't hack it. So it's stupid, absolutely stupid, but I had to know. I had to know that I could do it. I could go into the wilds and not turn my back.
So, Juliet, I haven't known you for super long. Like, we had a little bit of trial by fire.
Yeah, you could say that.
But we've known each other for better part of 2 weeks. And
that was too much, right?
No, that's not what I was going to stop. No, goddess, no. No, Juliet, like, there's no one I'd rather go into the wilderness or the wilds with. Yeah, like, I jump headfirst into things, and, like, I don't think that's a problem. Like, someone needs to be bold and brave and physically strong in the wilds. Like, there's a lot going on out there. Well, there's a lot going. There's moon people, apparently.
Yeah,
I'm really fixated on moon people. And then I met this girl who said like, there's like, all, like it's big that like there's a moon person conspiracy. And like, I'm really like in the weeds. Like, what could these moon people be? And can I talk to this girl more about these moon people? And wait, so I'm getting off track. But like, there's a lot out there. And like, I jump into things, and it's nice to know that I have someone who has my back. So like, when I like hurt myself, that like they'll have an ointment to make me feel better, or like when I don't have a flashlight, they have three.
I am pretty handy with ointments.
You do have very dexterous hands.
And I don't know, like, I don't think you need to prove yourself to him. Like, I don't want you to not go into the wilderness with us, or the wild, I keep calling them wilderness. I don't want you to not go into the wilds with us. Like, I have very few friends right now, and very, like, even less people I'd trust to have my back like I trust you. But, like, you should go because you want to, not because you're forced to.
You're right. And I think it definitely started out that way. And there's a bit of stubbornness involved with continuing, but
I mean, like, we have a lot of good reasons to continue now. Well, not currently. Like, I don't want to, like, go out tomorrow. Like, I mean, like, if there's a reason, like, if more kids got kidnapped, like, obviously I'd go out tomorrow, you know?
Right, but right. I mean, I think it has its own attractions.
Right, like, and, like, I know how you feel, like, you have to prove yourself. Like, I mean, that's kind of, like, how I feel a lot. Like, why? I don't know. Like, I left my family back home. Like, I'm kind of, like, the disappointment, you know? Like,
you're not a disappointment.
I mean, like, one of my sisters is, like, the perfect mom with, like, my two adorable, I don't remember if they're nieces or nephews. I don't know what I put. My two adorable nephews and nieces. I think it's two. Whatever. Redacted amount of things. And then, like, my other sister's, like a really good professional and, like, really helps, like, with the eco herbs and stuff. And then, like, here I am, like, I, like, stopped being, like, a book editor, like, after a few months because I didn't like it. And, like, I'm now just kind of, like, a volunteer firefighter. And then I, like, moved very far away from the symbiherbs, you know? So, like, I don't know. Like, I get it. Like, I get, like, feeling like you have to prove yourself to people. And, like, I think I'd be lying if I said, like, I didn't come out here to make my own way and prove myself. But I don't know. You seem great, Juliet. I don't think you need to prove yourself.
Well, I'd say the same thing about you.
Well, thanks. We should probably run a little bit more because, like, I think this will help you a lot, like, if we have to run from, like, Blighthounds again.
You're right, but can we get another drink of water?
Oh, always, of course. Like, stay hydrated. I don't know why, like, sports teams don't let you drink water normally. It's dumb. I don't like it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.